This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. No human is an island. We are social creatures. And part of our social interaction is we had a family network, we have friends, we have associates, we have in-laws, and so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا فَجَعَلَهُ نَسَبًا وَصِهْرًا, that Allah has created man from a fluid, privileged him with an ancestry, and extended his family with in-laws. And we all develop bonds and relationships and attachment with individuals at some point or the other in our life. But the key question is, what can we adopt to sustain the relationship? So husband and wife, prior to marriage, prospective couple, they had a crush over each other. They had an infatuation over each other. They got married, but unfortunately it was a short stint and then it fizzles away. Or brothers were close together and then at some point the relation becomes sour and it takes pear shape and it's unpleasant. I share with you today a very amazing quotation of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, who used to say that there are three qualities, يُثْبِتْنَا الْوُدَّ فِي صَدْرِ أَخِيكَ. If you can imbibe that, then it will preserve and sustain the relationship. It will keep the flame of love and affection burning between you and your beloved. Now, what are those three qualities briefly of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu? So if I maintain this with my brother, inshallah, the relationship will only grow stronger and healthier. And if I internalize this in my house with my spouse, inshallah, it will put an end to bickering and unpleasantness, and it will strengthen the relation, inshallah. The first thing that Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu mentioned in this regard, أَن تَبْدَأَهُ بِالسَّلَامِ, that whenever you meet your beloved, your neighbor, your brother, your friend, your spouse, your partner, whoever it is, then be the first to initiate a greeting. Be the first to initiate a greeting. We do know that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered his house with two things. It was salam and siwak. So that he would be using a miswak, and that is indicates how particular he was about oral hygiene, because we know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed teeth were clean, his blessed entire body gave off fragrance. And I often say this without fear of contradiction, that when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam got up in the morning, his blessed mouth was more fragrant than our mouth is after brushing our teeth. And that is no exaggeration, that's a reality. But he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would enter the house with salam, with salam, with salam and with miswak. There is a narration in Musnad Ahmad where Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to greet him, and he knocked on the door, as we learn in Surah Nur in the 18th juz, isti'dhan, the adab of isti'dhan, seeking permission. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tadkhulu buyutan ghayra buyutikum hatta tasta'nisu wa tusallimu ala ahliha, that do not enter into any home other than your own home until you do not seek consent, you familiarize yourself, and of course you greet the occupants of the house. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knocked on the door and said, assalamu alaikum. There was no response. He knocked for the second time and greeted. There was no reply. And he repeated it for the third time and nobody replied. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning, as he has taught us in the hadith, that you would seek permission thrice. And if somebody consents, then you will enter. And if not, then return. And after the third salam, when he got no reply, he was just about to leave, when Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu opened the door, and he then welcomed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in and ushered him in. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I greeted once, twice and thrice and I got no reply. And subhanallah, what was the reply of Sa'd radiallahu anhu? He said, O Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course the homes were small. It was not a doorbell that was ringing. It was not a camera system in which he was seen. It's simple, small, basic, average. I heard your footsteps. I heard your blessed voice. And when you greeted, I responded discreetly so that you could greet for the second time and you could invoke the blessings of Allah upon me again. Had I responded the first time, you would have not greeted for the second time. Of course, the scholars teach us and tell us was driven by the overwhelming desire to attract the blessings in his home. Otherwise, that is not the ideal etiquette to subject your host, your guest to any form of inconvenience. And we do know that Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu's motive was absolutely pure and noble. His aim was not to prolong the wait of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the point that I'm trying to impress via this incident, which Imam Ahmad has quoted, is the value of salam. The value of salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا. That when you greeted with a greeting, then reply with a similar greeting or something more wholesome. So if a person says, Assalamu alaikum, reciprocate with the same or extend it by saying, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh, where you're invoking the mercy, the blessings of Allah upon that person. So the first thing we need to do, and we need to become conscious about this, and like I always say, ihtisab is important. Ihtisab is the mental awareness of the reward promised in executing this action. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also told us that the one who initiates the salam is free from pride, is free from pride. So the formula to keep a relation active sincerely, because you're asking Allah for blessings. So in your heart, you don't want anything unpleasant to grip or inflict this individual. So that's the first thing we ought to do. And tabda'ahu bis salam. The second amazing quality that we need to internalize, which will preserve and keep the flame of love active, تُوَسِّعَ لَهُ فِي الْمَجْلِسِ, that you prepare a space for him, or you reserve a space for him without inconveniencing anyone. Let me qualify that statement. In a gathering, in a function, in a get-together. So the Quran speaks about this in the 28th juz in Surah Mujadala, that إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ فَفْسَحُوا يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Wow, it looks so simple, yet look at the reward. Let me give you a verbatim translation. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ, and when it is said to you, تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ, that make some room in a gathering. Just move up slightly, move forward, inch forward, make some room and space so other people can come forward and allow them the space, give them some room, make them comfortable, accommodate them. Look at what does the Quran say? تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ فَفْسَحُوا يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. When you are told to make room and space and accommodate, then oblige and comply, and Allah will give you space. Fafsahu, that's an imperative, a command that makes space. And the positive outcome of this will be, Yafsahillahu lakum, that Allah will make space for you. And all the scholars of tafsir say, what does it mean? Where will Allah make space for you? Allah will reserve a spot for you in Jannah. Allah will, just sit and think. Imagine somebody comes to you and says, give me a rupee and I'll give you a dollar. Or give me a rand and I'll give you a pound. Or give me a pula and I'll give you a Kuwaiti dinar. Right? You give me one, I'll give you one, but you giving me something, you know, in monetary value, which is much cheaper and inferior, and I'm going to give it to you back in a currency more wholesome with greater value. Allah is saying, make space. For your brother, for your colleague, for your companion, for your spouse in a gathering. And Allah will give you space in Jannah. Now, this is such a rich teaching of the Quran. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ. The benefit of this is great. Allah says that the believer's station will be elevated. And those who have knowledge, they will enjoy multiple status, because they will execute this injunction with deep vision and understanding the context and the text of the Quran. So it will just not be sheer compliance to the head of the gathering, but rather they will do it with an added level of basira, understanding that this is an injunction of the Quran. So let's take this into practical scenarios. You're going for a walima, you're going for a family get-together, or you're going commonly with your brother to a mall, you're finding a spot where there are two bays. You are occupying one bay and you are reserving it. And I must qualify without inconveniencing or imposing or encroaching on anyone. Because if you're trying to accommodate someone and you are offending another person, you're telling somebody else to move from his space, then that is not the right way of doing things. But within reason, you reserve a spot for someone who comes late. This is something that might look simple, basic, average and insignificant. But Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, this will preserve the relationship. Imagine we do this here. You tell your wife, or the wife tells her husband, no, I'm waiting for you. We will go together. We will find a common spot. We will sit together in a setting that is conducive and palatable for that type of, get together, etc., what it is. So the message here is that these are things that's going to strengthen the relationship. And last but not least, that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, تَدْعُوَهُ بِأَحَبِّ أَسْمَائِهِ إِلَيْهِ Subhanallah. That you address your beloved with a name that he or she loves the most. This is going to keep the flame of love going. Now, recently I was involved in a particular marital case, and it's a reality. And the marriage was on rocks, and it was turbulent, and I'm not sure if it was dissolved or it was in the process. And the one spouse asked me to speak to the other spouse. So I said, okay, no problem, just forward me the contact details of your spouse. And so that particular spouse, and I'm just using the word spouse so that I'm gender neutral, because it could happen in both cases. Sometimes the husband offends the wife, or the wife offends the husband. Both could be either the victim or on the receiving or the inflicting party. So when the spouse forwards me the contact details, what does it show on the phone? The number and the name of that spouse, best. Best. Yet in another instance, I was involved in a case, irk. That's the name. He irks me, or she irks me, or he's a pest, she's a pest. Now, if we refer to our partners as a pest, right, as a leech, he's leeching off me, she's leeching off me, those are not good words. Those are going to create venom. They're going to create poison. They're not going to reduce the level of discord. They're going to compound and exacerbate it. تَدْعُوَهُ بِأَحَبِّ أَسْمَائِهِ إِلَيْهِ That use a pleasant name. Now, quickly, I want to share with you some reflections. In Arabic, we refer to nada murakham, right? Munada murakham, tarkhim, which is an easy way, and that is hasful akhir. Sometimes you don't have to use a very romantic expression for your partner or for your friend. You don't have to use something very hilarious or something, full of humor. You just drop and omit the last letter. This is also an expression of affection in Arabic. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, ya Aish, right? There are rules in Nahwa, in Mansubat, in terms of how you will address a person where you drop off. وَقَدْ يُحْزَفُ لِلْتَخْفِيفِ وَلِلْتَلْمِيحِ There are different reasons where you omit the last letter of a person's name, just out of love. Ya Aish, oh Aish, this is Jibreel conveying salams to you. Yet again, we see when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was wrapped up in his cloth in the early days. And many of the scholars say the reason for this was because the disbelievers, the infidels, had referred to him as a liar and an imposter. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sad and depressed. So he wrapped himself up in a garment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, right? Respectively, chapter 73 and 74 in the 29 juz of the Quran. And that was the second revelation after Surah Iqra. So after Iqra, the next revelation was the Surah Muddathir and Muzzammil. So from this, the scholars deduce that ishtiqaqul ism min al halatil mawjuda, that sometimes just to extract a name from the current situation is also mujibe mulatafat. It is a cause of affection, love, and warmness. So you don't really coin a phrase, or you don't find a new name. The situation in which your beloved is, he's reclining, he's resting, he's walking, and you just extract a name from that situation itself. Often, we're not saying always, because there are different dynamics, can also be a sense of an affectionate embrace or an affectionate call out. So Allah told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, O my beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wrapped up in a cloth. And this is not only found in the Quran, we find the same analogy adopted by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith, that when he came home and he realized that Fatima radiallahu anha and Ali radiallahu anhu, his son-in-law and his cousin, had an altercation and had a feud, and he inquired from Fatima radiallahu anha, and she said that he was in the masjid. He then came to the masjid, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was resting in the courtyard. Now, when he was resting in the courtyard of the messenger of the masjid of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was enveloped in the dust. And the Prophet ﷺ understood that the moment was rather tense because he had a feud and an altercation with his respective spouse, the queen of the women of Jannah. And you can see Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah has written extensively that even the best of marriages have their fair share of turbulence, that there couldn't be a greater couple and a greater union than Ali radiallahu anhu and Fatima. But subhanallah, they resolved it with respect and dignity. We learn from this the psychology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it ties up with these words of give good names to each other. Don't use insensitive names. Don't make nasty remarks. This is going to burn the lamp of love. It's going to extinguish it. So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he said, "Qum ya Aba Turab, oh dusty character, stand up. Oh dusty fellow, stand up." He didn't say Ali radiallahu anhu, he said dusty characters, authentic hadith in all the books of hadith. And Sayyidina Ali then responded, and the narration says it just relaxed him. And Ali radiallahu anhu used to go on and say that if somebody called me Ali, I loved it. But if somebody called me dusty character, I would just simply adore it. Why? Because that was a pet name and a kunniya that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conferred upon me. Last but not least, in this regard, I share with you an incident briefly. When Sayyidina Musa journeyed to go to the meeting of the two oceans, Majma'ul Bahrain, as the Quran says, then in the search of knowledge and to meet with Khidr in Bukhari Sharif, the third chapter is Kitabul Ilm. So there's the Babu Bad'il Wahi, then there's Kitabul Iman, and then there's Kitabul Ilm. And in that entire narration features. But Allah says, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ, and remember when Musa said to his young man. So the Fata means Yusha ibn Nun, according to many of the narrations. It was the servant and the helper of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. But the Quran adopted an expression of not worker, helper, assistant. No, young man, skilled man. So sometimes we use the word for a person who's cleaning my garden or who's probably pruning my trees and, you know, attending to the things at home, words that are derogatory. The word fata means young, skilled, talented. يُقَالُ لَهُ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتَن يَذْكُرُهُمْ. In the context of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the word fatan was used. So the word fatan is a very holistic expression of a very matured way. In a nutshell, we need to use good names, pleasant names, and that will inshallah enhance the relationship. May Allah grant us the ability to adopt and imbibe these amazing qualities, and may He preserve our relationships with our spouses and our siblings till the end of time.